Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. You are tuned in, yes, to this special place that I call The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Inkerman. We're going to start off with Beyonce, Wishing on a Star.
Wishing on a star to follow where you
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Beyonce slaying it on Wishing on a Star. All right, we're going to get ready and tune in to the One Power and the One Presence, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. I want you to tune in to the breath, recognizing that there is power in the breath. There is power in the breath. There is power in the breath. And I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. And then release the breath. I want you to do this while centering your mind on that presence, that eternal loving presence, the luminosity of all that is. And I want you to center on your heart this morning. So together, family, as we become still and know that I am God, I want you to take in a deep breath. Breathe. And release. Feel and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe, family, just breathe. And release. And know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. As we recognize true forgiveness is forgiving ourselves. Thank you, God. As we hear Ayana.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today. believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought form. I am so grateful, grateful, grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful I am. Again, a long, deep inhale, I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale, grateful I am. And breathe and experience the radiance of gratitude. Bring your awareness to to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers. And give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room. As you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
And when I look in your eyes, come on. I mean it desperately. I'm in love with you. Love with you.
I'm in love with you. Love with you.
I'm in love with you. Love.
No, 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 I'm in love with you. Love with you.
I'm so in love, baby. I don't care what the people say.
I'm so in love, baby, and I don't care what your teachers say.
I'm so in love, baby, I don't care what the rockers say.
Hey, that's badu 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 badu.
I love
Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Ziggy Marley and Erykah Badu. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. In love with you. Yes, I am in love with you. We're going to read from the Science of the Mind, and today is about perfect vision. You see, we are drawn toward those things which we mentally image. What we see is what we get. Profound wisdom for successful living is contained in this little statement. In it, the word see refers to more than passing glances at conditions or circumstances. It suggests an acceptance or identification with them. Let's talk about that again. In the word see refers to more than a passing glance at condition or circumstance. It suggests that we accept or identify with them. We may glance about us at things that do not appear to be peaceful or beautiful, things that are not based in love and oneness, but we are wise to see beyond those appearances. We are wise to see beyond those appearances. That's absolutely the truth. When we can see beyond those appearances to behold everything around us with a perfect vision. A perfect vision, family. That means to see in the eyes of love. Perfect vision is that approach to outer conditions and circumstances that perceives the presence of spirit in, as, and through all that exists. Let's say that again. Perfect vision is that approach to outer conditions and circumstances that can perceive the presence of God in, as, and through all that exists. Spirit is the ultimate reality, and its nature is wholeness, oneness, truth, harmony. Anything unlike spirit is impermanent. The more that we see our world with a perfect vision, the more we draw into our life those experiences that align with the nature of this, of our spirit. This practice is not a denial of passing events, but rather a higher view of them, as if we are viewing them from the mountaintop of spiritual realization. Instead of seeing disharmony, lack of limitation, and accepting these appearances as ultimately real, we turn our focus on the light of truth, and then our life becomes filled with light. Our eyes are windows upon the world. As we allow our vision to align with spirit, we see beauty and love, harmony and abundance, health and well-being. The perfection of life is made manifest when we choose to see with a perfect vision. I see clearly the God presence in all. I see clearly the God presence in all. Can we see with the eyes of God, family? The eyes of spirit. Yes, can you really perceive the seemingly appearance of all that is with the eyes of God? Well, this is something to think about. What are we looking at when we look in our bank accounts? And it may not be exhibiting in the black I like to use, in the black. Because, you know, we hear the word black a lot and everybody say, oh, everything associated with black is negative. But they forgot to tell you that they associate being in a prosperous side with the word black. All right, now, come on, let's talk about some good stuff this morning. I want to play this clip that I played because I want you to know no matter where we start and no matter where we begin, it only matters where we end. And this story reminds me of my own story. This is Bishop Archer, and it's called Trick Day.
I was 10 years old, and I held my mother's gun to my head, and I wanted to blow my brains out all over her wall. You must ask the question, why would a 10-year-old child want to die? 10 is a time to dream of being an astronaut, of being a soccer star, a football player, a preacher, a pastor, a doctor. But for me, life was so horrific, with so much vitriol and pain, I wanted to die. I'm the product of interracial immigrants. My grandmother was tall, white, and thin from Germany, and we called her French Fry. My grandfather was a big, burly black man from Cuba, and we called him Hamburger. Hamburger met French Fry and created a Happy Meal. And these two immigrants produced 7 McNuggets with special sauce. We would joke that we would have Wiener Schnitzel with salsa for Thanksgiving. My grandfather had to hide the fact in the 1940s in America that he was married to a Caucasian woman. But one wedding anniversary, he had a flaw. He liked to drink overproof Cuban rum. And one evening, he was inebriated. And a man saw them together and said to my grandmother, "Why would you be a nigger lover?" My grandfather, with huge arms, lost his temper and hit the man in the jaw and broke his neck. The man didn't die, but he was injured severely. He went to the worst prison, convicted of the crime, Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio, locked down 23 hours a day. It hit the newspapers that my grandmother was married to this convicted felon and she lost her job. But being a German woman, she didn't complain or whine or woe is me. She began to work odd jobs, cleaning other people's houses and toilets, taking care of their children. But as she was working, she would have fainting spells, passing out doing her job. She went to the doctor and discovered that she had a tumor growing behind her left eye that was metastasizing to her brain. The doctor said, "We have to take out a third of your face, your eye. You will be malformed and disformed and disfigured for the rest of your life." What do you do when the American dream becomes an American nightmare? She could not work. She was sick and mutilated. My grandfather's in jail, and day by day, they lost everything that they had acquired. They lost their house. They lost their car. They lost their furniture. They lost their dignity. They lost their self-esteem, and they were living in the streets like animals. My three uncles got hooked on heroin. They belonged to a gang called the Devil's Disciple. And my entire family became atheistic. No God, no prayer, no Bible, no hope. And my mother, at age 14, was called by a pimp named Larry, who said to her, "What is school doing for you? You are sitting on a gold mine." She said, "Where?" He said, "You're sitting on it." And we call this being turned out. And little by little, she began to sell her 14-year-old body to grown men for money to survive. It's called turning tricks. And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again. But the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things: don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, "Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom." She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His Word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes, I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the Word of God.
Wow. Nothing can stop the calling on your life. Nothing can stop the calling, the anointing on your life. no matter where we come from, no matter how we were born, no matter where our parents were in the scheme of things, there was an anointing, there was a calling on your life. Sometimes people say, how can you live your dreams when things like this happen to us? Even when our family disapproves, you know, there comes a time in everyone's spiritual path when we have to choose our own wisdom, our own compass, our own approval, out of our family, friends, and even our current tribe. And that moment may be one of the most scariest and also most exciting moment in your spiritual development. But see, it doesn't matter where you come from. It might be scary because you're out beyond how you were raised to even think. It might be exciting because you're out beyond what you were raised to think. But our past doesn't dictate our future. And yes, we may think our family is everything, but we must learn how to find ourselves outside of the family dynamic. We must find ourselves outside the past. We must find ourselves no matter what's going on. If we are to deepen truly on our spiritual journey, we must believe. And I want you to know it's not selfish to want to individuate yourself from your family or from your past to find yourself. It's healthy. Both resilience and limiting behavior are passed down from our family, from our past to us. It's our job to keep the good stuff and rid our lives of the limiting stuff. When we take responsibility for our life, it can be scary, especially when we start to think about our past or when we start to think about our friends or family disagreeing with our life choices. But this is your life. And it's time to choose who you want to be and no longer apologize for. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your purpose. You owe it to your future. Become who you were meant to be outside what anybody else thinks. Story was given to us not in spite of, because of. And your story, it's somebody else's blessing. When I heard that, and even though by the time I heard that story about the piece of peace, about the trick baby, I had already known that God had already shared with me that no matter what happened in the universe, that it was all good. You see, because nobody in the planet could have made Janine Ann Ingram, who I am today, any slight difference. I wouldn't be who I am as I show up today. You see, we needed that man to come and snatch mama off the street and into his seed, into my mother's egg, and create me. Now, that sounds like a cruel trick to me at first. It felt like life was cruel. How could this be my beginning? How could I come from a place of not being wanted? I can see, I didn't hold it against mom not wanting to have me. Who would want to have a baby out of that process? And then have to look this baby in the face and remember that night. Of course you would want to abort that situation. But every day I prayed, as I think about it, that I would hope by the time she left the planet that she could see me and just be in joy and not have to remember that night. That was the thing that I started to pray for. That I wouldn't be a remembrance of the pain, but the joy that came out of the pain. You see, it doesn't matter where we start. It only matters. That's why it's important to see with the eyes of spirit. You see, so many times I had to learn how to see things God's way. So many times I had to ask God, I don't understand, God. You know, it was many nights I went to sleep thinking, this got to be a cruel dream. You send us to the planet. You put apples in front of our face. The apple tree tell us we can't eat from it. You say we can't have our cake and eat it too. This just doesn't seem. In my little girl mind, it just didn't seem like a fair kind of God. I just began to one day say, God, teach me how to see in the eyes of God. Teach me how to see the bigger picture. Teach me how to see what you see, God, in the vision of God's vision. You see, because it wasn't easy to see it from my little human mind. It felt cool. And I used to say, oof, this got to be a cruel trick. What kind of God? Until one day, God's love appeared in my prayers. I was laying in the bed, and I don't even tell this story much, and I'll never forget. In the darkness, this light appeared. And in that light, this warmth came over my body. And it was the most amazing, most thrilling, most orgasmic, even more than orgasm. It was just, you can't even, it's indescribable. And I knew I was in the presence of the Most High God. And I said, wow. And it just said, teach my people that I am love. Teach my people that I am love. I'm like, what? And I just did not want to come out of that meditation. I didn't want to leave it. I wanted to stay. And that's all it said. My people don't know that I am love. I thought to myself when that happened, I'll never forget the day. I remember how the sun shined. I remember what I wore. I remember walking down the street way before the love journey started. But it was many years after walking down the street in a despair one day, super sad. And I walked into a place on Division that was called the Ruby Room. And I'll never forget. Didn't know anything about chakras. I didn't know anything about crystals. I didn't even know anything that people could read into your life and past life. And I walked in, and there was a lot of books, and this lady walked in and said, can I help you? And I said, I don't know, can you? She said, let me read you. So she took me and put me on the table. I was in my 20s. And she put all these, and to me at the time, I thought they were rocks. But now I know different. It was crystal. She lined them up. Then I didn't know chakras. And she I would have told you, she put them in the line down my body. But she placed each crystal on my chakras. And then she began to place her hands slightly above, never touching me, my body. And all I remember just, like, I don't know if I went into a sleep or a daze. But I began to kind of just relax. And next thing I know, when she would come out of whatever she went into, she told me that I was here to teach love. I was like, teach love? I'm like, this lady crazy. She done put these rocks on me and told me I'm going to teach love. But I felt so much more relaxed after walking out of there. I had been in this just sad state. And I'll never forget feeling this warmth and this just much more peace. And I remember thinking, walking down the street, how do you teach love? And so when I had that experience in my bedroom that morning, I remember thinking, teach my people I am love. I said, how am I going to teach love? How am I going to tell people that God is love? And then one day I was praying and I said, God, how do y'all teach people that you are love? The Spirit said, by being the love. So, well, God, how do you be love? I said, teach me, God, how to be, how do I see in the eyes of love? How do I love in even places where I feel unloving? Now, you have to be careful what you ask for, because you sure will learn how to love in unloving places. It's not the easiest thing. Even starting the love journey, I never forget, you know, once I got past a little bit of my own fears and own process, then this lady kept coming on the line. And this is a lady who was a part of my childhood. She ended up coming on this line before she died of brain cancer. And when she came on, when we first started the love journey, people would get on, good morning, and they would say their name, good morning, da, 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 da. And one day she said, good morning, Esther Dale Huston for Kosciuszko, Mississippi. And you would have thought my heart jumped out my body. I'm like, what's she doing over here? Oh, my God. And she would come on every morning, and she was loud, and she was bodacious, and oh, my God, she wanted to make her presence known. And I had to work through my process. I had to work through my process. Then she invited me to Kosciuszko, Mississippi, to speak in front of the National Association of Negro Women. And we're going to pay you $3,500. We're going to buy your books, and we're going to pay you to do workshops. Oh, my God. What an enticing idea. And we're going to pay for your room, your stay, and pay for your airfare, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to go and do it, right? When I get there, guess what? They do not have me a hotel room because she wants me to stay in her space in the bedroom. Oh, my God. So God is so good. Let me just tell you how God is good. So one of the ladies that used to be on the line, Pat Cunningham, she said, Janine, I'm going to come down to Mississippi and I'm going to help you. I'm going to sell your books on the table and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to help you at the workshop. So I was like, oh, okay. So she came. It was such a blessing because that means I didn't have to talk to this lady. And it was so good because her and her talked, and she kept her away from me, and it was so good. But it wasn't good emotionally because I couldn't sleep at night. I tossed and turned, and God was saying to me I had to forgive. But I didn't want to forgive. I wanted to hold on to what she had. I felt like my perceived wrongs that she had did to me as a kid. But in that process of learning to forgive, I learned something valuable. I learned something so valuable that if we hold on to the pain, we can't see God. And even though I was blessed to have that experience, it took me. So the night before, it was a weekend thing. So I had Friday night, they had a gala with the mayor for me. Saturday was the workshop, and Sunday was the key. I was the keynote speaker. And so Saturday night, I was trying to write my speech, getting ready for Sunday. I couldn't get it together. I just couldn't write the speech. I couldn't figure out what to say. Didn't know what I was going to say. I threw the paper across the room, kept throwing papers across the room. Oh, this is it. Right. I started listening to the love journey, listening to different people, listening to everything. Couldn't come. I stayed up all night long. And I remember God said to me before I got ready to go to the microphone, I still hadn't had a speech prepared. Said, Janine, you don't have to forgive. You see, I was so blinded by my own pain. I was so blinded by my unforgiveness that I couldn't even see the gift that was being bestowed before me. And see, money has a really interesting seduction. You see, God knew that I was seduced by the price. I was seduced by the idea of coming down there. Even through all my own unforgiveness, all that junk, I'm willing to go down there and do all this stuff. But it really was, the blessing wasn't about the money. The blessing was the fact that I had to let go what I was holding on to. You see, I had to forgive the process. I had to forgive being thrown down the basement stairs. I had to forgive all the pain that she inflicted on my little body as a kid. You see, I had to forgive all of that. And I did not realize I was still holding on to it. But in my heart, I was still holding on. In my heart, I was still holding on to all that junk, and I didn't even realize it. And I'm talking about just even when I started the love journey. Then it was called the prayer line, the source. You see, pain sometimes, the unforgiveness keeps us from seeing God in the midst of it all. Because many times I said, well, God, where were you when I was a kid? Where were you when all this stuff was happening? Where were you? But sometimes in our pain, we cannot see God. Because God said, I was always there. And I never would leave you. And never would I ever forsake you. That didn't make sense to me. And I didn't even realize in some ways I was still kind of mad at God. Why didn't you intercede in this experience? But it was getting ready to walk up to that microphone when God said, forgive. Janine, you're going to have to let it go. And as I walked up to the microphone, the words began to come through. What legacy will we leave? You see, it's easy. This is how it just came out, just like that. I came to the microphone, and I was thinking, I don't even know what I'm going to say, God. God is speaking to my head, you're going to have to let it go. And as soon as I got to the microphone, I said, what legacy will you leave? I'm like, yeah, that's some good stuff. What legacy will we leave? You see, we can't leave a legacy when we're holding on to the pain. We can't leave a legacy when we can't let go of the things that has created us to help make us who we are today. It's not because of, I mean in spite of, it's because of. So why do we hold on? Why did I hold on? Why was I still holding on to the pain? Why was I mad that she would come on this line every day? And the one thing that left me on that day, what legacy will you leave? You see, Dorothy Heitz had just wrote a book, and this is how God is so amazing. You see, I got to sit at the feet of Dorothy Heitz right before she passed away. Not recognizing the gift and the opportunity. And I looked over at Dorothy Heitz and said, you know, what legacy will we continue when Dorothy is long gone from the planet? Will we just allow this day to be a day of being motivated, but will we take the information and continue not just to be motivated in 1 minute, 1 hour, one space, but to continue to live the legacy? What will we do to leave a legacy behind? But you can't leave a legacy because you can't see through the pain. You can't see through unforgiveness. You will never see the presence of God as long as you hold on to the pain and unforgiveness. And even though we don't know God's ways, our ways are not God's ways, and we can't see it the way God sees it, the big picture, and why. But one thing for certain, two things for sure, that is always calling you to a higher place. You see, the universe is always calling your name to a higher place. And as I walked up to that microphone and I began to speak the words that God had spoke through me, because I didn't know what I was going to say at all. The one thing for sure is you got to let it go. You see, we got to live above what the seemingly appearances are. And as her life came to an end, and even though she never said those words, "I am sorry, please forgive me," when she called me and asked me to pray for her when she went into her first brain surgery, she had cancer of the brain. And I prayed. And the second time, I prayed. And then the last time, when she got ready to leave the planet, she called me and said, "Janine, can you pray me out the earth?" And I'm like, why does she keep calling me? But there was something different that happened when I prayed, when she was getting ready to make her transition. And even though I'm way in Chicago and she was in Kosciuszko, Mississippi at the time, this warmth, this energy came through the phone, and I knew what she really wanted to say, but she didn't know or have the words to say, is that she was sorry. And in my prayer, I saw her pain. I literally, when I was praying her, she was dying. I remember having this sharp pain go through my heart. And I was like, wow. It never occurred to me in my little kid mind and now adult mind that the pain she was inflicting upon me and probably millions of other people was simply because of her own pain. And it's strange because my heart feels this pain right now. Again, I felt this sharp pain in my heart. And God was sharing with me. And I began in my prayers to see visions of her pain as she was leaving the planet. And I just ask God to give me the heart to forgive. In places and crevices of my mind, my body, and my space that I don't know how to forgive, help me to forgive, God. Help me to see even this experience right now. And when I said that in the prayer, in my mind, I didn't say it out loud. God showed me that all she really wanted me to do was forgive her. In my obedience to pray for her, she was able to let go because she didn't want to leave the planet, Spirit told me, without me forgiving her. I was like, wow. Now, she never said these words, but somehow they were communicated. Unforgiveness is probably the worst poison on the planet. Because when we hold on, I believe that the pain was showing up in as, because the last time when she was dying, the cancer came back and it metastasized. I think I said that word right. And it was moving through her body. Unforgiveness is poison. And each day that we don't let go of the poison sickens the body. And it sickens the body more and more and more. So today, from my heart to yours, from my lips to your heart this morning, family, our only job is to get to the place of love so that it don't metastasize and poison our body. And if we have got to a point where something is diseases in our body, we got to learn how to speak to it. Speak to the unforgiveness. Let go of the anger. and release the pain. Because at the end of the day, this is more a really true statement. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting on the other person to die. I promise you, my evolution on this love journey has been one that I wouldn't turn or give nothing for the journey. And so today I thank God for the opportunity to let go and forgive it. And I thank God for the opportunity to be grateful even when the seemingly appearances may show up different. So family, the message is, let it go. Let it go. Whatever you're holding on to today, let it go. Whatever keeps showing up in your life, showing you you need to forgive, let it go. Unforgiveness keeps you playing small. Unforgiveness keeps you emotionally unavailable. Unforgiveness keeps you from seeing the fullness of your own potential and goals and things that could even help assist you to the greater version of yourself. Unforgiveness keeps you bounded in a place that won't let love in. And even though I thought I had forgave her, when her voice just got on the phone that day, it triggered something inside me that let me know that I had not forgiven. But by the time she left the planet, I was able to release, let go, thank God for the experience. That's my message. Any comments, concerns, press star 6, press 1 on the blog talk. Other than that, you've been tuned into the love journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram, and the message is, let it go. Our parents, let it go. People really do show up doing the best they can with what they know how. All right. Well, you've been tuned into the love journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram. I am super excited to know that we're always in a journey to our ascension. Ascending higher and higher every day. And so as we, I want you to hear this. I know you say, this girl got all kind of stuff for us to hear, but it's about gratitude. This is my daughter's pastor. And I love, 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 love this. Because he asks one question. Can you be grateful in the midst of your enemies? And sometimes they're your own enemies. Your enemy of not being good enough. Can you still be grateful? This is Stephen Furtick.
Can you keep your eyes fixed on the presence of God in the presence of your enemies? Because at this table, David said, God isn't the only one seated. I got enemies all around me. You prepare, verse 5, a table for me in the presence of my insecurity, in the presence of my deficits, in the presence of my addictions, in the presence of my confusion, in the presence of what I've lost, in the presence of the threat that I won't make it, in the presence of my enemies, I'm looking straight ahead. Would you do me a favor? Would you touch the person next to you and tell them, set the table? Because when you learn to have a heart of praise in the presence of enemies, you set the table. That's what David said, right? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And if you can walk with God in darkness enough, depending on the light that He showed you in the last season, you'll learn to read your enemies as a sign that it's time to eat. David said, God made my enemy serve me my entree. God made the things that conspired to take me out feed me for the place He was bringing me into. I got a seat at the table. I'm a big boy. I can handle trouble. I can handle tests. I can handle it. So I'm sitting down in the middle of all kinds of nonsense, but I got my eyes fixed on the presence of the One who is within me. And greater is He that is in me.
Ooh, I tell you, God is good. You got to see in the eyes of God, family. All right, anybody? Questions, comments, concerns? Star 6, star 1 on Blog Talk. All right, we quiet this morning. 1, 2, all right. Well, I just want to thank you for tuning in to the
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Beautiful Z.
Peace and love to you, Queen. Wow, Janine, at first I need to ask, who was that? No, what's his last name?
What was who? Who are we talking about that?
The minister who spoke the message.
Stephen Furtick.
Who is Stephen Murphy?
Stephen Furtick, F-U-R-T-I-C-K.
F-U-R-T-I-C-K. Okay, wow. I thought he mentioned the name of Naldo, so I thought that was it. Wow.
Wait. What minister? Because we heard two ministers. Are you talking about the first one or the second one?
The first one.
Oh, right. His name is Ronaldo. Dr. Ronaldo Archer, Reverend Dr. Ronaldo Archer. So I didn't know who you were talking
That's
about.
That's the one who had, he was a trick baby. That's the one?
Yes, Ronaldo Archer, yes.
Archer, okay. Well, I got to go look him up. Phenomenal story. I mean, I was in tears just listening to him. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I don't even know what to say after that, but I just need to find out who he was. Thank you once again for bringing inspiration, because when you hear a story like that, I mean, we've heard your story, and I mean, I'm always wondering how in the world, you know, God, like you said, God got a plan. God got a plan, and there can't nothing stop God's plan. When you're supposed to be here to do the work of the Lord, you are going to get to everything and anything. So I'm just, you know, I'm just inspired again to be in gratitude for the life that God has given me, and to also never, ever, ever take anything for granted. When you see people and sometimes you get into judgment, you never know. You just never know what people have gone through and, you know, what they're here for. And so I look at people like this brother here and you, and I just say, you know, thank you, God, for coming through in some of the worst times imaginable, some of the worst things that I could never imagine having gone through something like that. And, you know, and being the amazing gift to the planet that you all are, and that we all are, that we all are. We all have our story. We all have something. You know, one may seem a little more intense than the other, but, you know, we just are so grateful for God's grace. So thank you so much once again. I love you and bless you. And you just keep on doing you, boo, because you are just a magnificent teacher, gift, you know, helping us to learn and grow to be the best that we can be. So that's all I wanted to say. And I thank you once again. Blessings to you.
Amen.
And
thank you so much.
Yes,
thank you, Z.
You're welcome, love.
All right. Well, you tuned in to the Love Journey. Any more questions, comments, concerns, press 1 on Blog Talk, and we open the line on teleconference star 6. All right, well, I'm going to get ready and leave us out of here. I'm inspired to always play something, right? Well, I want to play Doubt Your Doubts Before You Doubt God again. I don't know. Sometimes you wonder why you want to hear things over and over again, but something about the way this young man say this poem, it always blows me away. So in this, as we leave from being in this space together and move into our individual space, I want to remind you to doubt your doubts before you doubt God, and to remind you to see in the eyes of love and have a forgiving heart. Release the pain. It's hard to see God in the eyes of pain. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God.
I remember my little niece ran up to me and told me, "We learned about Jesus today." And I could tell by her smile she was so excited to learn about this man that she did not quite know yet, but she knew without a doubt for it to be true, because after all, Mommy said so. And that was the first time in my life that I looked into the eyes of a child and envied them, because she had no idea of what it feels like to doubt. What it feels like to have your entire belief system overload with skepticism. To never know the day that you would finally be able to live beyond the shadow of a doubt. I've lived in its darkness for so long. It seems like I have all the right questions, but never enough answers. And my faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of my palms. God, every night I lay my head down to sleep, the city of my mind is attacked by a legion of questions threatening the living rooms of my sanity and holding them hostage. Can you help me? Last year, my grandmother laid in a hospital bed like a bus stop waiting for God to come pick her up. I had never seen such pain and such confidence living in the same eyes when she told me, "I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know who I belong to." And I was so happy for her. And something inside of me wished that somehow before she passed away, she could pass down her confidence in God to me like an old family picture. I remember sitting in the back row of a cold sanctuary, crying, because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me, and a backpack full of fear, and nowhere to go. No one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles. They are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired. And I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? Back? There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you, faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears. My child, don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here. You know my truth, and you're scared. Scared of what that means. Scared of what that should cost you. That one day they will all laugh at you, laugh you right out of their classrooms, and scorn you out of their courtrooms. But my love serves as an eviction notice to anxiety. When they cast stones, my love casts out fear. I am the author and finisher of your faith. I've never started a work that I will not finish. I am the one who will give you courage to stare death in the face and say, how dare you try to scare me? I know who I belong to. And when it feels like you are drowning, in a sea of your questions, just know I'm there. I'm there. Like when I drowned in the Red Sea of my blood for you, and these hands that took holes will hold you. And when I told you that I would love you forever, I meant it. Don't you see these rings in my hands? See, we are married. For better or for worse. Through sickness and in health, through faith and through questions, till death brings us closer, you are mine. You are mine, and I am yours, I promise.
Wow.
All right, that was Solomon Brooks. Doubt your doubts before you doubt God, reminding you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember the truth, love. Love is the only choice, and remember family. Not just dream, but live your God-sized dreams. This is Stephanie Mills on the Love Journey. You tuned in to the Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram, and this is called The Power of God.
You know, there is no time, no space where God is absent. His power is always present. Oh, yeah.
to respect the power of God. Stephanie Mills again, home. Get my mind blown. When I think of home.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place. A place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz. A journey I'll never forget. When I